A story you may have heard of, I'm sure you did, on the news bulletins this morning, anger after thousands of pounds were paid out to a woman who was struck by a police baton. A High Court judge said Nicola McAleer was part of a crowd that subjected officers to vile abuse. But the judge said that while her alcohol-fuelled behaviour was unacceptable, the officer had used excessive force. The incident happened in Oma in 2012. Police Federation Chairman Terry Spence has criticised the ruling. He says it will make it even tougher for police officers to deal with hostile groups. He joins us now. Terry, good morning to you.
Good morning, Joel.
What's been the reaction in terms of what you're hearing from your members after this ruling?
Well, there's huge disappointment amongst our rank and file, and indeed anger, that this ruling will make things even more difficult for police officers in Northern Ireland who are having to deal with drunk and disorderly crowds spilling out of pubs in the early hours of the morning, and the way in which this crowd emerged, including this female who tried to obstruct police when they were effecting an arrest, and the net result of her behaviour, which was described as being drunk, fueled, vile behaviour by Mr. Justice Gillen. This lady then threatened police officers, and as a result, one of the four officers who was surrounded by a crowd of 20 people withdrew her police issue baton and struck this individual on the thigh. Now, that was quite clearly a graduated, proportionate response by the police, and I clearly believe that the officers should be commended for their duty commitment that particular evening.
But protecting
the public, and I think it's at odds with the compensation that was paid out.
But you can't second guess what the judge is saying. You know, you can't commend the officer for what has been described as the use of excessive force.
Well, Mr. Justice Gillen, in fairness, went on to say that the four police officers that night who were surrounded by this hostile crowd were doing their duty, and I quote, doing their duty to the best of their ability. And that was what was said by the judge. Clearly, the evidence that has emerged as a result of these proceedings quite clearly demonstrates that the officers concerned acted in a graduated, proportionate manner, and that the officers had no other option but in the case of one officer to produce her police issue baton and strike this individual on the thigh. And it would appear that the judge awarded compensation, and I'm not quite sure about the technical background of this, but legally he seemed to think he was compelled to pay this compensation, and that is something from a legal technicality perspective that needs to be addressed.
But you can't sort of pick and choose and take the nice bits of what the judge has said in terms of his comments after, and then say but actually he's got the ruling wrong.
Well, I'm quoting what the judge has said, and I've looked.
Yeah, but do you believe that it was excessive force?
No, I don't believe it was excessive force. I think on under the circumstances, the police acted in what was a graduated, proportionate manner. And I think the position in relation to the force that was used, the judge felt obviously compelled that because the strike mark was on the thigh of this lady and not on the lower legs area. Now, it's all very fine,
but
18 months after...
But what is the guidance? I mean, what is acceptable? What is the guidance? Is it acceptable
I'm just coming to that. It's all very fine 18 months after an event with the benefit of hindsight to look at what happened in the middle of what was a melee when police officers were trying to effect an arrest of another drunk person and a crowd of 20 spill out onto the streets. And police officers are expected to make split-second judgment decisions. And trying to aim a baton at someone's lower legs can sometimes mean that the thigh receives the strike. And that's obviously what happened in this instance. And so these are split-second decisions that are made at the time, not in the comfort of a courtroom, by way of the benefit of hindsight and looking back over the events that happened on that particular night. So very clearly, I think the officers have acted in a very restrained manner, and I think that under the circumstances, what has happened here with this compensation claim sends the wrong signal, both the police officers and indeed to the thugs who emerge onto our streets on occasions, drunk and disorderly, engaging in antisocial behaviour, that not only can they engage in that behaviour, but if they then go on to make claims against the police, they will be ultimately successful. Oh. That's a worrying development and a very okay. Worrying situation.
Okay, Terry Spence, thank you very much. We've heard from Terry Spence. Want to hear now from former RUC Detective Chief Inspector Alan Mains. Alan, good morning to you.
Hi, good morning.
I mean, you were a senior investigating officer in complaints and discipline, and you're now a professional policing standards. I mean, these types of incidents and how you deal with them, with your experience behind you, what's your reaction to what you've heard and read about this specific case?
Well, there's very little to read other than what the judge has decreed in terms of the giving the compensation and saying that the police officer used excessive force. To take Terry Spence's point, you know, and I understand, you know, from a Federation point of view that he leads very well and is representative of the rank and file. The situation, I think, we have to look at is take ourselves back to 2012, and unless you're faced with a situation that you've been in where you actually are there on the ground and you're faced with these 20 to 30 people, then it becomes very real. A police officer is trained to take out their baton only on extreme circumstances to protect themselves, their colleagues, or indeed people in society. Once they take the baton out, then they're told to make a report. It's deemed as very serious, and I have no doubt that police officer took that baton out that night with the intentions of probably not having to use it, but felt, obviously, the need to use it.
Do you feel that, I mean, rank-and-file officers, when they hear this, I mean, how do you feel they'll react?
Well, look, the training's very clear, and they are very well trained. This police officer, if you want to just generalise it in a sense, when they take their baton out, they're taught to go for the lowest part of the body. And as Terry said there, quite rightly, that doesn't always transpire when a crowd's coming to you. You know, you just can't aim it as you would sort of like. At times, people move, they're drunk. So for the judge, who is a very experienced and is obviously dealing with the facts probably better and more knowledge than you and I, is to create that it's an excessive force. But when you're in that situation, and I think a lot of time and effort must be given to that police officer in terms of what she felt that night, and she's obviously done her job to what she thinks is the best of her ability, and I would support that. And I think police officers going forward would know the training's good, and if they use their baton, they make a report about it and they take the consequences, whatever that may be.
And this idea in terms of the lower body and the suggestion that because it was the thigh, it's excessive force. I mean, and you've sort of touched on the issue. You know, in that kind of situation where you have, you know, a large group of people that they're unhappy because someone's being arrested, that there appears to have been drink involved as well. You know, it's not as if the officers are going to be able to sort of, you know, say to the crowd, stand there a minute so that I'm able to hit you in the lower part of the leg because that's where I'm allowed to. You know, it just doesn't work that way.
No, it's not. It's a hostile situation. And we know what hostile situations are like in Northern Ireland. I've unfortunately investigated cases where police officers have had their guns stolen. We've seen what happened in the past with extreme circumstances where people have been killed. And, you know, it is a very difficult situation to face, and it's very intimidating and very... People will say the police officers are trained for this, and they are. You know, they've effected an arrest. There's 20 people that are trans. One of the things that I would like to know here, and nobody seems to be able to answer, is, was this person arrested? I don't know the answer.
John's on the line this morning. Good morning, John.
Hello, Joel. How are you doing?
I'm not too bad. How are you?
Not too bad, Joel. It's just I was just listening to that debate in relation to excess force.
Yes.
For the life of me, I can't understand. There's the police association. They're coming and whinging. There's law and order and the enforcement of law and order. The courts have ruled that excessive force was used, irrespective of the individual case. And for the life of me, I can't understand why they're coming on whinging when the courts have ruled in their favour. It seems they like court's rulings when it works in their favour. In this case, excessive force was used, and they should uphold the rulings of law and order. In this case, the courts.
Yeah, that's the case, isn't it, Alan? I mean, you know, you can't sort of cherry pick rulings that are in your favour, or parts of rulings or comments, and not take the ruling.
I don't think anybody's cherry picking here, really. You know, Terry's obviously speaking on behalf of the current police service. What I would say very clearly here is that the police have got the ability to take this court ruling, move on, put it into their training, and if they can learn something from it, well and good.
On the other side of the coin, John, you know, in that kind of a situation, you know, excessive force, and we've heard the explanation, is because it was a blow with the baton to the thigh. You know, in that kind of situation, when you have a drunk crowd and what seems to have been going on that night, you know, no one knows in terms of what it was like to be that officer in that particular situation. You know, are they meant to just stand there and take it?
No, I agree with that, but in this individual case, we're talking about cherry picking, but this is an individual case here, and the law has spoken, and a judge has ruled that excessive force was used, and I can't understand why this hue and cry. You just have to accept it was ruled against the police, and the police accept that. And I understand there might be ratifications. Will police be hesitant in the next situation? Will I draw a baton out? Well, I can see that side of it. You know, will they be hesitant if I, you know, produce a baton? Am I going to get brought to court or whatever? I understand the point of view. But at the end of the day, it is cherry picking, I think, anyway. The courts have made a ruling, accept it, and stop the whinging.
If there is an officer in a situation, Alan, you're saying it's being, you know, maybe be able to incorporate it into future training. I mean, there is going to be that point for some officers when they're faced with a situation where it could be, you know, the safety of me or one of my fellow officers. What do I do here? If I pull a baton out here, am I going to be standing in the court myself?
Believe me, round canteens today and police stations, they'll be talking and they'll be probably, you know, not happy about it. Put themselves into that situation tonight with 20 people surrounding them. Instinctively, they'll be drawing their batons if that's what is required, and instinctively they'll be protecting their colleagues. Let's they're very professional. Let's not get that, you know, out of kilter here.
But I'm saying, you know, that when they're put in that position, you know, it's a decision that they may be mulling over in their mind a little bit more after this than what they would have been.
Well, as Terry Spence quite rightly said there, you know, when you're in that situation, you really don't have time. It's either make the decision, defend yourself, your colleagues, or the public, and then take the consequences. And look, you know, if the judge, a very experienced judge, Justice Killen, you know, he's obviously sat and he's listened to us and he's taken the facts and he's actually said that the police officers' evidence is, you know, a lot better than, you know, what he had heard. I can see he's deliberating here between, you know, what happened that night and what he's hearing in his courtroom. The fact is that he seems to have had his hands tied because he said that if he could, he would reduce the compensation. But that doesn't take away from the real issue. And the real issue is quite simply this. The police officer took her baton out that night. She used it. The judges deemed it to be inappropriate or excessive. And I think we just move on from that, put it into training, and hopefully, you know, we still have a very professional police service at the end of it.
And just before you go, because you've touched on it, and I was going to bring it up, you've mentioned the experience of Mr. Justice Gillen. I mean, do you think that's an interesting element to all of this, where he did say that, you know, he thought it would be just and equitable if the plaintiff's damages could be reduced by up to one third or a half, but he didn't believe that the law permitted him to do so? What did you make of that?
Well, I think he did say that the law didn't permit him, and that's a situation where perhaps maybe they have to look at that. I mean, I have dealt with cases in the past, and I'm certainly aware of it in my experience, where terrorists have been on proactive, you know, whatever they do, they've been arrested, and excessive force has been used on the arrest, and they've actually received compensation. You know, that's exactly, the police are accountable, they're held accountable, they have to be accountable in order to be professional and protect the public, and there's situations in the past which has been just ridiculous, but that's the way it is.
Okay, Alan Maines, former Detective Chief Inspector, thank you very much.